Hi, this is Dr. Sudhi Mohandas from iFirst International. I'm the co-founder and managing director. Today in our program, I have a very special guest, Mr. Ari Sundran, the ED or CEO of MIHRM, which is Malaysian Institute of Human Resource Management. And I'm very happy to have you with us.
Thank you, Dr. Sudhi.
So, Ari, what we do is we get straight into the brass tacks. And I know you've been with this organization for a long time. So maybe just give us a little bit of your story of when you joined MIHRM and up to the point of where you are today.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Sudhi. It's a long story. I completed my career in 2006 as a group industrial relations manager in the Sime Darby Group. Then I was thinking and looking around, and I found that the HR professionals are not so strong in their area of expertise, and also the young professionals who want to build a career were not very clear in the pathway, including myself. I felt I took a long time to build my career to go up to the top management team. So I felt I should go and contribute somewhere in the industry where this can be done. And that's where in 2002, I came into MIHRM at an annual general meeting, and there I was elected into the council the first time. And later on, when I completed my career in 2007, I decided I should go on to serve MIHRM and build this institute, which was going in a very ailing situation. In fact, they were a bit going down the ladder.
Is it because human resource was going down, or is it just the organization itself was going down?
Frankly speaking, the people who are elected the NGOs, they feel their responsibility is only for 2-year term. As long as they're elected, they just chair the meeting. But as far as the operation is concerned, they are not committed. They do not take responsibility and accountability for the delivery and results. They only take charge for the meetings. And you find that the meetings are done once in 2 months and nothing really, really happens. And the following month when the meeting re-adjourns, nothing is completed, it's all outstanding. Neither are they attached with the business.
So now it's over 10 years now. Yes. 13 years or something like that?
Since 2007, it's okay. Now about 12 years.
13 years. So how does MIHRM stand today?
Now, since I came into MIHRM in 2007 on a full-time basis as an executive secretary, elected, I went and revamped the entire system with my colleagues. We formed the first time a business plan. A business plan to show what results we can attain and what we can do and what programs we can do. And then from there, we start growing. Since 2007 to 2012 now, and 2019, we have never made any losses. Whereas before 2007, every year there is losses and people just come to the AGM and explain nothing can be done, nothing can be done. But now, every year we make gains, and people come to AGM and ask, we should not be making so much of gains.
So that's been a change of things have been.
That's been a change.
So you could say that's a happy occasion. I mean, you don't have that luxury. Not many organizations have the luxury to say that, right?
Yeah, we could say, because why? Leadership must take the responsibility and accountability. NGOs normally feel that leadership has nothing to do with the operational results. And that's where we go wrong. And I admire the work that you're doing, Dr. Sudip, supporting the NGOs to build and grow stronger. And I can remember the day when you were participating in MIHRM, where you told us there are some corrections to be done, we should go digital. And I know you will go far away in your career.
Thank you. Okay, so let's focus on the element where you pointed out about operations. I'm quite interested in that part. So you're saying that operations is perhaps one of the most important aspects to why MIHRM has succeeded since the days that it was down. Am I correct?
Yes, because operations must continue. The election can be an election, but the operations must continue. So if you have teams coming every 2 years, new team, and the operations are separate, then there is no connectivity. There must be connectivity and continuity. And the third element you find is that when we build business, we are building with a third party. and the third parties will not want to have relationship with a new party. We are an NGO, we are not a business enterprise. So NGOs must also have continuity, and also people must trust the leadership there, and the business must be trusted. So you find that it's no difference whether you're an NGO or a business. But only thing, an NGO, you have a social interest greater than business interests.
And so this element where you talked about, okay, you're elected into the organization on a 2-year, but the operations continue, and you mentioned the fact that that continuity is so important. Isn't that, do you call that sustainability? Is that how it is? How to make it sustainable? What is it in your view?
No, you can say it's sustainability. You can also say it's reliability. And I would rather say it's accountability. Accountability must continue.
And how do you bring in the right kind of people to sit in your AGM? Okay, so when you have an AGM, not everything is determined by your own call. It's dependent by the members who make the election, right? So the challenge, if you're elected, that's great. But then the point is, you mentioned about operations. Yes. So if you get different people, then you get, things don't get continued. How do you manage that?
You see, for NGOs, what you should have, they should also have succession planning. So that if you're elected, then make sure there is a succession planning. And for succession planning, you must get those people who are interested to participate, to come into the activities, to be in the subcommittees or something, to show that they are willing to continue with this journey. It shouldn't be a sudden surprise they come in. This is not government elections where sudden surprise come, where the system is already established. It's a continuous system. NGOs are not like that. It is built on the passion and inspiration of the leader. So you must have a good succession plan within the system so that the passion continues, the business continues, etc. But many NGOs don't believe in succession planning. They only believe in election, which is wrong. Election and succession planning. And that's what they have, subcommittees, main committees, etc. But the usefulness of subcommittees is to find succession planning, not subcommittees just to participate and go away.
That's interesting. And since we're talking about the Malaysian Institute of Human Resource Management, can you share over the years or where the future is going with regard to HR in the NGO sector, if at all, you know, or even in the business sector? Is there going to be some changes? Are there, for example, people like you? I mean, you didn't have any NGO experience, right, when you came
yes.
in?
Yes, yes.
Is that something that you think that is becoming more and more necessary for people to have that NGO experience? And is HR going to be playing that role, MIHRM?
No, there are two parts of the question. For MIHRM to survive, of course, we have to do continuous research and development and find out what's the needs of the industry. It's a changing needs, changing industry. So you have to upgrade your programs, upgrade your needs, etc., etc. But when you talk about the second part is NGOs. Is NGOs really necessary? What can NGOs? NGOs actually is supplementing the government activities. The government activities are fixed. They cannot be so flexible to the needs of the changing industry. But NGOs can change because they are so flexible and you're registered under different purpose and goals. So I find that, but one thing for the NGOs to grow, they need support. And the support is not coming from the governments because they're not connecting their activities with the NGOs. In fact, if all the government departments, if they take the right NGOs and associate with them, we will serve the needs of the citizens and industry greater. But now they are destroyed. NGOs are taking their own interests only. For example, maybe out of my field, like welfare homes. You have a welfare organization, welfare committee and all that. But there are only orphanage homes running on their own because some people care for it. But why can't these be connected? This is where the NGOs to move forward.
So what about the topic of leadership? You have built yourself to be a leader among the NGO sector. I mean, the fact that you've actually turned around MIHRM from where it was. What would you advise young leaders or the future leaders who, for example, would be equally interested to join and be a leader of like an organization at MIHRM? What would your advice be?
Actually, there are three things. One is, of course, we talk about skills. You must have the skills in whichever NGOs you're going to participate. You must have the skills. You must have the competency required for that. But more than that, now we look at his values. Are you a value-driven leader? So that's taking a greater role now, because competency you can build, or you can gather people to give you the competency. Skills you can have or you can bring in. But values is very difficult. If you don't have the values, you cannot learn values.
Can you share with us what you mean by values?
I mean, we are all talking about simple values, basic values only. You know, to be very honest in your things that you do, integrity, trust, the relationship of truthfulness. So this kind of human values, we're talking about human values. Whenever we relate to each other, we look at one person, we see, I think he's a nice person. I want to relate with him. So how can another person see some values in you? At the first time of my contact, I can see some values in you. That's where the relationship starts building. Then the next, they look at your competency, then they look at your skills and all other things. But if your values go down, then your organization goes down. So the leadership must have a strong values.
Okay, so that would be a take-home point for most of the incoming people who would be even... But is that something that they can be trained, or is that something that it has to be cultivated as they're growing up? In which case then, has MISM got a place in building values among leaders?
No, values, basically we learn it from the home, from the parents, and then some you build it here by reading and so that. Some you do it by realization. Some failures will tell you that, okay. So the three ways, and it's a continuous process.
Okay, so just to come to the end, where do you see MISM moving in the future?
MISM has a great future, but the future depends on the leadership. If the leadership sees a great future, the future is there. If the leadership says, I don't see a future, there's no future. So it all depends on the leaders.
Pearls of wisdom from Ari. Great. Thank you very much, Ari. So before we end, our listeners will be very interested to know how they can be in touch with you. If you'd like to share your website and maybe your email contact.
My website is www.mihrm.com, and email is president@mihrm.com. Or the second email is jaresand@hotmail.com.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Ari, for having the time to share with us your insights and wisdom.
Thank you, Dr. Sudip, for giving me the opportunity to share with you on this. I really appreciate it, and thank you very much.
Well, that is Dr. Sudip signing off. Those interested in knowing a little bit more about this podcast, you can visit www.ifirstinternational.com.